Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, Rav Tov. Good evening. Shalom, Chavarim, shalom. Here, the Wednesday podcast. Wisdom Wednesday, Wednesday Wisdom.
Shalom, Nimal, Arsul, Befit, Bonet,
these are also the proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out.
Oh, fret not thyself, my brothers and my sisters, of evildoers. What goes around must come around. They will get paid on judgment day. The higher the monkey climbs, the more we explode. The stone that bitter refuse will be the egg color stone. By the slit of a man's brow, totally impressed. So don't bite the hand that feeds you. Remember, none are rocks and fire, and children shall beg bread. Fret not thyself, my brothers and my sisters, of evildoers. What goes around must come around. They will get paid on judgment day. So pray to Rastafari, and he will be your guide. Just be a humble lion to reach Mount Zion. Remember, I and I, Father, is the conquering lion from the tribe of Judah. Let that be said, earth righteous ruler. Oh, let not thyself, my brothers and my sisters, of evil rulers. What goes around must come around. They will get paid on judgment day. The higher the monkey climb, the more we expose. Bless not thyself, my brothers and my sisters, of evildoers. What goes around must come around.
Fret not thyself. Solomon J. Brown, love that relic right there. The higher the monkey climb, the more he exposed. Yes, I, that was Reggae Coptic Lion. Extended version right there. Fret not thyself. Yes, I. Ah, Chan. The previous podcast was very, very choppy. Apologies to the brothers and sisters. There was a lot that seemed to be going out there in the technological so-called world out there. But hopefully we have, you know, a better sailing tonight. Fret not. So we saw now here with the Wisdom Wednesday with the Fret not vibes. Fret not thyself. So that was Solomon J. Brown, Fret Not Thyself, Reggae Coptic, Judah Lion. Yes, I. So here, another Fret Not Yourself, Kelly Ranks. Yes, I, Shark Reggae. Here.
Good morning.
Fret not thyself.
Y'all let the evil them too cool, ain't no God.
Never let them
too cool. Good morning. Yeshua Yahweh, Baba Janai.
Good advice, I and I. One more fret not right here. Third World Classic, Fret Not Thyself. Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Beteseb, greetings and welcome, family, to this special episode of Wisdom Wednesday with the Rastamandem here on Discipleship Radio.
Redemption starts, we should live. Burn out.
Redemption, Redemption Psalms. Here, beginning of the podcast. Yes, I fret not thyself. Yes, I. Redemption Songs, Redemption Songs. Wisdom, Dennis Brown. Here, the evening psalm appointed here at the fourth day of the Shavua of the week. The strong right here, we have Psalm 94 as chanted in the Temple of Jerusalem right here on the fourth day. The standing psalm, fourth day, the evening psalm.
Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
Jehovah shall cut them off. I obtain, here, rise against I and I and I.
Evi Gerisu. Evi Getaru.
Shall bless me, Lord. Bless when I reckon, yeah, oh. Life I get bits like a piece of garlic. Yet we are pray but never see the Lord yet. Them say head up a roll like a market from me be scarlet. Pray to God, me no be them target. Say amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Jah will lead me on. Even when they try to take my life, Jah will keep me strong. God, many will rise against me, trying to take my soul. Many will rise against me, protect me, Lord. Yeah, them can't taste cause I'm in the loveless. Jah will deliver from stress. Me never tell you, say me tired, why you want me at rest? Why you want see me made a rest? And if you do the burden, maybe I'll refuse the hardest. Still I look to Jah regardless. And when your friend them gone, me know a chat and knowledge. Jah will provide my death. So Jah be my guide, my shield. Cause I know every smile me still a ring. You alone know the pain me feel. But I that same comfy, the money way me hear me got. The place get silent till me coulda hear me heart. Whisper praying on my mind and me know say Jah Jah hear the talk. Them screw the trigger, me no hear no shot. Them no know say Jah Jah do that. Say amazing God.
get them paid, yeah. Black spider record, black all from the Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hearing the David Ayn.
I and I that trust in Selassie I shall be as Mount Sinai, which cannot be removed, but abided forever. As the mountains are round about Ethiopia, highly I Selassie is wrong I and I now, even forever and ever. But rather the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of I and I, lest I put forth thy hands unto the greedy. Do good unto I and I, Selassie I, that trod in thy way and upright in heart. But them that turn aside unto the crooked ways, Selassie I shall dash them forth unto the workers of all the greedy. But I and I that love Selassie, I shall live forever and ever.
Rise up, kingly man, rise up. It's time to take your chances.
Here's the question that needs to be asked. Did all of the Israelites and all of the B'nai Yisrael come under the curses? ha-kelalot, the curses for disobedience, the curses for lo tishma'a b'koli Yahuwah. Did all of the Israelites? No. The majority, the great overwhelming majority of the sons, the children of Yisrael, so-called black man, black and brown man, especially here, these Americas and the Caribbean, especially here, after 400 plus years. So we have to address some things of this idea, of this false idea of unconditional love. Are the berkot, are the blessings, and were the blessings, are they given unconditionally to Yisrael? Are they given unconditionally to Israel? Let's look at what was said before the great rebuke, the great tokacha and the tokachot. We have 98 tokachot between the verses 15 and 68 in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But first, before the great tokacha, before the great rebuke, the great reproof, for the sake of correction, a tokacha is a confrontation over sin, over uckery, over fornication under the crown of the lack, whether it's an actual chatat, chatiat, whether it's an actual chet, actual sin, forfeiture, lack, missing the mark, or the possibility of ucking up, the possibility of lacking, as we have in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. And what does it say in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17? It says, thou, the I, male, shall not hate achika, the I, brother, wendeme. Thou shall not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffer sin, not suffer uckery, not suffer sin up on him, and not suffer sin upon him. Lo tisna et achika, thou shalt not hate thy brother. Be levaveka in thy heart. Lo tisna et achika, be levaveka. Thou shalt surely rebuke, reprove thy neighbor. Hokeyacha, tokiyacha, eta emiteka. And not be a sin, not be a uckery because of him. With lo tisa alayo cheta. So when you say, as many people say, foolishly and falsely, oh, I'm not going to tell so-and-so what they did. They should know what they did. I'm not going to say nothing. That's a violation. That's a violation right there. Because there's a possibility of ucking, there's a possibility of lacking, but you're not going to say nothing. But that's where the hate in your heart. You say, why there's so much hate among black people, among black men? Why so much hate? Because of the lack of rebuke and the lack of receiving rebuke, the lack of correction and the receiving of correction. This is why the word says and reveals to us what it reveals to us, that thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Lo tisna et achika bi levaveka. Thou shalt surely rebuke thy neighbor. Hokeyacha tokiyacha et emiteka. And not bear sin. So one bears sin, right? One bears sin. One bears uckery. When one says, I'm not going to tell one what they did. I'm not going to say, with lo, tisa alayo cheta, be lebabeka in thy heart, right? In thy heart. Has not given them a heart to do what? To perceive. Ones don't perceive this. Some still don't perceive this in the heart. Why? We're to reprove. That's an act of love. Correction is an act of love. See, all these commands relate. They relate to the feelings. You want to talk about feelings? You want to talk about feelings? This relates to the feelings, the commands. The mitzvot, the commands, they relate to the feelings of halev, right? Of the lib, of the heart. Upon their obedience depends a secure. The social life of Jah people and of we, the black people, the once lost, now found, Bayit Yisrael, it depends upon our hearing, giving ear, and carrying it out. It depends upon a secure social life, the obedience, right, to the commands, and even the commands to reprove and rebuke. For was not the second temple in 70 AD destroyed on account of vain hatred? One said, oh, I don't hate my brother. Do you correct your brother? Oh, it's not my place. I'm not to say because there's nobody perfect. So forth and so on. What the word says, lo tisna et achika bi elevabeka, because if you don't reprove or rebuke your neighbor, your brother, you hate him. is how hate develops in the heart. And you bear the sin, the uckery, because of your failure to correct, your failure to reprove your neighbor. Lotis na eta achika bi elababeka. Hokeyacha tokiyacha eta emiteka. Lotisa alayo cheta. Now in the application to Yisrael, the so-called black man, woman and child, but beginnings of black man, this refers to a warning and a prophecy of certain fearful judgment and progressively painful punishments if the terms of the covenant are unfulfilled. So before the great rebuke was delivered, Moshe, he lists a series of berakot, blessings, that will result from observing HaTorah, observing Jah's direction, instructions, the teaching of his majesty. Can you list some of these berakot? We find them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 14. Various forms of prosperity. Talk about why we're not prospering. We, the so-called black people, black man, why we're not prospering? Because there's not a reproof. There's not that true love. Right? There's not that true hearing. Shema Yisrael. But upon the Shema, upon the rightful Tokaha, there are various forms of prosperity that will, according to the words of HaTorah, pursue and overtake. Pursue and overtake Ha'am. Ami, if I and we obey HaTorah, Jah's direction, instruction, we obey the teaching of his majesty. This includes the fruitfulness of the land, the abundance of children, a surplus of food provisions, the establishment of Yisrael as Ha'er, Ha'Elohim, the true good, the true God, holy nation, set apart people, set apart nation that would be invincible among the nations, HaGoyim, in warfare, and overall shalom, peace, protection, guidance, protection, and power that comes from Ha'el, the power, Ha'el Elohim, the true good, the true God. So when I ask the question, did all the Israelites, or all of the Israelites, have all the Israelites fallen under the curses of disobedience? No, not all of the Israelites. We have the remnant peoples, even the Israelites, even have the Israelites of Ethiopia, the Israelites of the east of the river Nile, with the Israelites. We have those remnant tribes, the people, because here in the very same chapter that we have the 98 HaKalalot, the curses, the consequence of disobedience, we also have the berakot, the blessings for obedience. So to the next question, are these berakot, are these blessings given unconditionally? This lie of unconditional, were they given unconditionally to Yisrael? Sounds nice, but it's not according. It means that if you believe that, it's true. Lo, tisa. Lo, tishma, b'koli Yahuwah, that you're not hearing, you're disregarding, and you're disregarding. So if we hear the voice, we recognize that the berakot was not given unconditionally. It was not given unconditionally. And not all of the Israelites fell under the curses, but the great majority, the overwhelming majority of the B'nai Yisrael have come and fallen under the curses, the consequences of disobedience. But there is the remnant. So we have the Lion of Judah, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah upon the throne of great King David, because those receive the berakot that were given. See, the berakot, the blessings, will be and were bestowed only if Ha'am, only if the people obeyed the commandments of Ha'el, the true good, the true God of Elohim. Note that the only way out of the terms of the Sinai covenant, as renewed, it was renewed in the plains of Moab, would be through the institution of an entirely new covenant, the Berit Chadasha. Otherwise, the old covenant remains in force. The old covenant remains in effect. This is why when we're speaking about love one another, or we should love one another, we hear a lot of talk of love, but our ones regarding or disregarding the Koli Yahuwah, the Koli, the Kol, the Kal, the Kaleg Ziyavihari, regarding the word, the voice of Jehovah. See, some say that the opposite of love is hate. But it has also been said that the opposite of love is not hate, but rather a sense of indifference. See, so it says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart, but to rebuke. When you start to not reprove or correct your brother, this is where the hate develops, beginning with that indifference. See, it's the indifference. This is what explains why the tokachot, the punishments, the chastisements, would come if the people left their first love. Yisurim shel ahava, the troubles of love, the troubles of love, leaving their first love, the tokahot, the punishments given to Yisrael, are intended, and why were they given? It's intended to help Ha'am return, Teshuvah, to help I and I, both individually, indivisible, dual, in the individual sense, and also in the communal, the collective sense, to turn to return to, return, turn from your astray way, and to give ear to the Koli Yahuwah, to the word, to regard the word of Jehovah, to return to he who be who he be, and to re-embrace his love, right? His love, by keeping his word and fulfilling his commandment. This is the teaching of his majesty. Shema'ah, Yisrael, Yisrael, O Israel, 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 O Israel.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? The Ethiop, are ye not as children of the Ethiop, children of the Ethiop?
My advice to all, my advice to all, advice to all, advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Fulfill the Ten Commandments. Fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Quickly, it's reward for you. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad.
Your Imperial Majesty, as a mature Christian, have you a special word for young people of these days?
On this occasion, I address also all those within our empire. Our Christianity is not restricted to a given church, and I stress above all that we do not wish to make distinctions. My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments and can elaborate on it. If the nation for which I am the emperor follows and accepts this, since it's also what I accept and follow, I would believe our country is not only historically Christian, but also actively Christian.
Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword, my sword, my sword, my sword, my sword, my sword, my sword. Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword,
slain by my sword.
Ye Ethiopians also,
also.
Ye Ethiopians also.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad,
Adonai Echad.
Too long your people been suffering under the same system, you know. Penalization, victimization, inferiority complex and all the rest of it.
Yes,
man. Shut up in the ghetto and just can't make the way out, yeah?
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? The Ethiopians, are ye not?
Castle in Ghana, West Africa, where enslaved Africans were shipped to the Caribbean, to North America, and other places in the world. From this castle, on the average, 10,000 enslaved Africans were shipped year by year. Altogether, about 60 million Africans were enslaved. Whoever went through the door had no chance of coming back. That is why this door got the name, the Door of No Return.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
What is the word tokacha and tokachot? Tokachot. Tokacha rebukes. Rebukes, sometimes interpreted as rebukes, chastisement, rebukes. We have this here within the Torah, and especially within the chapters 28, the rebukes, the chastisement, sometimes brought out as reproof, rebukes, the word tokacha, a confrontation over chatat, chatiat, over sin, over ukri, over lack, forfeiture. Whether it's an actual sin, an actual ukri, a forfeiture, a lack, or the possibility of sinning, of lacking, as we have in even Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17. When it's applied to Yisrael, to Israel, it refers to a warning and a prophecy of a certain fearful judgment and progressively painful punishments if the terms and conditions of the covenant are unfulfilled. And this is an important theme. Even though we have within many of the Psalms, rebuke I not, right? Rebuke I not, as we have even within Psalm Mizmor Lamed Chait. O Lord, O Jehovah, rebuke I not in thine anger, Yahuwah. Allah Birk Etzipika, Tokicheni. Rebuke I not. It actually brings out the sense in the Hebrew, not in anger, not in al bik atzipika, al bik atzipika, not in katzipika, not in the eyes wrath, not in the eyes anger. To ki chayni, in other words, rebuke I, but not in thine anger. If you rebuke I, but not in thine anger. So we have the word tokaha, rebuke, reproof, rebuke and reproofs. Recall that Moshe had gave further instructions regarding how to proclaim, how, in what way do we proclaim, in what way they were to proclaim the baraka, right, the blessings, and the kalala, the curses, or the aror. Now, the aror, what's the difference between the word aror and the kalal, right, the kalal? We have these two words. So just zooming in right here within the scriptures, especially within Devarim and in Deuteronomy, as we come to fulfillment of the repetition of the law. So Moshe gave further instruction regarding how to proclaim the blessings and the curses of HaBarit, of the covenant in the promised land. Now, we have an earlier mention of it in Parsha Re'eh, also in Kitabo. After crossing the Yarden, the Jordan, and entering into Shechem, the tribes were to be divided into two groups. So we have six of the tribes on Mount Gerizim shouting, Amen, after the Berkot, the blessings, were announced by Halloween. And we have six of the tribes shouting, Amen, Amen, assenting, so be it, let it be. After various curses or consequences were forth told and were announced. Now, after describing this particular rite, this ritual, Moshe, he delivered the tokaha, the rebuke, in that he foretold a terrible, a dreadful, an awful litany of consequences, or the curses, was often referred to as the curses for disobedience, including the prospect of being scattered among Hagoyim, among the Gentiles, among other nations and nationalities, the international community, because of Ha'am, because of the people, even Jah people, once lost, now found, black and brown sheep of the Beit Yisrael, their future, pointing out their future disobedience. And here we're in the dispensation, in the event horizon, right, after the fulfillment of the 400 years, but still within the prophetic iniquity of the Amorites. Now, Moshe, he concluded by declaring that the people, even Jah people, had not yet, and this is the key right here, had not yet attained a heart to know, eyes to see, and ears to hear. I found that to be a very interesting word right here. He says that the people had not yet attained a heart, heartically speaking, being heartical. They had not yet attained a heart to know, eyes to see, and ears to hear. What does this mean, Chaverim? In Devarim, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4, it says, Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear to this day. Now, after all that is said, we have this here, which is said, And Jehovah hath not given you a heart to perceive, heart, so the heart perceives, and the eyes to see, seen, and ears to hear to this day. Wolo natani Yahweh lakem leib la da'at le ayin na'im lirot we az na'im lishma'a ad hayom hazeh. Now, it's interesting here, because this particular word that we have in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4, Yet the Lord, yet Jehovah, hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear to this day. We find it in the Brit Chadasha. We find it being quoted in the New Testament, in the Adis Kidan. We find this quote right here, even in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, verse 8, it reads, According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this day. Now, of course, there is slightly different, but the essence of the verse says that they don't have the heart to perceive. Now, what's interesting, it says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to chokmah, and the key in Mashal and Proverbs, the connection in Proverbs and the teaching in the Proverbs, the Mishlei Shlomo, the Proverbs of Solomon with wisdom, right? Wisdom and heartticality and being heartical and heart perceiving. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. In Mizmor Sadai, in Psalm 90 here at verse 12, so teach us to number our days. Limnot Yamenu Kain Ho Da'a. So teach us to number our days that we may get us, that we may get I and I, a heart of wisdom. Nabi Levav Chakma. Teaching us to number our days that we may get, that we may apply heart of wisdom. Navi levav hakma. Teach us to number our days. Limnot yamenu kain hoda'a. Navi levav hakma. Wisdom and getting to know, getting the gnosis, the da'at, the Hebrew da'at, the da'at. Now the word da'at is knowledge, and then we have it as da'at, the eish da'at, fiery law. It's interesting because as we study the Hebraic word or interpretation of what we know as religion, it comes down to two words. One of them is da'at, the da'at. What is da'at? Yes, da'at, the da'at, the knowledge, the gnosis. But here it says that according as it is written, where is it written? You can compare some verses from the prophets, but we also compare here from HaTorah, from the Torah. Deuteronomy 29, some manuscripts, Hebrew manuscripts, is the third verse. KJV, we have it as the fourth verse. Yet Jehovah hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this day. After all that is said here, after all that we have said here, we have this concluding word, this concluding statement, Willo Natani Yahuwah Lakem Leib Lada'at We Aynaima Lirot We Aznaima Lishma'a Adahayom Hazeh. And the next verse is, and I have led you 40 years. So this is speaking of a dispensation period of time of 40 years in the Midbar, in the wilderness. And what's mentioned next? Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoes is not waxing old upon thy foot. Which also speaks to the nature of the once lost, now found, the black people, the black sheeple, to the Israelites. Their clothing was important to them. And he said that your clothing didn't become old, and your shoes, you had good kicks, footwear. Clothing and footwear is important to so-called black people. Called black lives are materialistically. But the heart perceiving, the eyes seeing, and the ears hearing, it is still that blindness. And here in Romans, the epistle to the Romans, chapter 11, they say chapter 11 in the world, in the seclorum, chapter 11 is called bankruptcy. How interesting is the epistle to the Romans here in chapter 11? It speaks of the spiritual Yisrael. That's not Israel just according to the flesh, not because you know you're an Israelite, that you say, because now you know that you're not just a Negro, a so-called black, colored, or so forth and so on, that you are Israelite, but that alone is the spiritual, it's the spirit. The spirit is key. Spiritual Yisrael, find, and it's finding salvation. But national Yisrael, national, fleshy, carnal Israel is and was judicially blinded. It's this section here in Romans chapter 11, and we have a section from verse 7 to verse 12 that reads, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. But the called, the chosen, the faithful, those of the new name, precious name, that new name, to elect, arise to far, obtain it. But the rest are blinded, according as it is written, God, Elohim, hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this day. And Dawid and David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense to them. Make their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I said then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Elohim, God forbid, Chalila, Chah forbid, but rather, through their fall, through the fall their fall, to the fall of Israel. Through their fall, salvation has come to Hagoyim. Salvation has come to the nations and nationalities. Salvation has come to the international community. For to provoke them, to provoke the Israelites to jealousy, to zealousy. Now, if the fall of them, speaking about the Bnei Yisrael, speaking about we black people, the fall of us, the fall of them, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of Hagoyim. So diminishing of us, you see our condition as the once lost, now found, and we see the condition of other nationalities. But it says, now if the fall of them, the riches of the world, so our fall, the riches of the world, flesh, the seclorum, and the diminishing of them, the diminishing of the Israelites of I and I, the riches of the Goyim, of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? What happens with our fullness coming to fulfillment? So here, in this time after the 400 years, this word is important. Scrolling forward in Romans, the Epistle to the Romans, verse 25 of chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye, that y'all should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye, y'all should be wise in your own conceit." See, wisdom is good, but not wisdom in our own conceitedness. Like the ain't right Israelites. That blindness in part. Get the word blindness in part. They're seeing, but they're blind. Because what about the heart perceiving? That blindness in part has happened to Yisrael until the fullness of Hagoyim, the fullness of the nations, be come in. So here, and coming to the standing, Nitzavim, we had Ki Tetzeh, when you go forth, when you go forward, Ki Tabo, when you go in, when you become in, when you go in. And here, Nitzavim. Well, let's reflect, first of all. Let's reflect on the Tokacha. What are the Tokacha? Reflecting on the reproofs, reflecting on the rebukes, reflecting on the Tokacha. The Tokacha. So we have Tokacha in the singular, Tokachot, in the plural sense. Coming to this great chapter, chapter 28. Now, often we may look at the chapter as just the curses for disobedience, because so much of the chapter, from verse like 15 to verse 68, is the Tokachot. The Tokachot. What is the Tokachot? The rebukes. The rebukes. And what are these? What are these rebukes? What are the rebukes? We find the rebukes in Devarim, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 to 68, also in Vayikra, in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 14 to 46. So compare, if you will, Leviticus chapter 26, verses 14 to 46, and Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 to verse 68. And let's look into some of the differences. What are some of the differences in the Tokachot, the rebukes, given in Leviticus chapter 26 and the ones given in Deuteronomy. The two main Tokachot, rebukes, reproofs, given to Yisrael, to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons of Israel, in HaTorah, we can say, given to the black man. This is so-called black man, the black and the brown man in the Americas and the Caribbean. There are two main Tokachot. The first is given in the end of Vayikra, the end of Leviticus chapter 26, verses 14 to 46. And the second, the longer one, is given during Moses, his farewell speech, his farewell address, his speaking even to that new generation, the youth and the new generation of the Israelites in Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 15 to 68. The rebuke in Leviticus, it ends with some hope. The rebuke in Leviticus, the rebuke in Vayikra, it ends with some tikva, some hope, some expectation. Quote, "Nevertheless, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not have rejected them, nor will I have abhorred them, to destroy, to downstroy them, to break, briti, my covenant with them. Ki ani Yahuwah Elohim, for I be he who be who he be, their Elohim, their power, their true good, their true God." We find this in Leviticus chapter 26. Verse 44, so there's some hope in that verse. "Nevertheless, when they are in the land of their enemies, I, he who be, who he be, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be he, blessed be the name." He says that, "I will not have rejected them, nor will I have abhorred them, to destroy them, to break my covenant with them." But the Tokacha, the Tokachot, the rebukes, the reproofs that we have in Devarim, in Deuteronomy, it intensifies. It's like turned up. without any sense, without any sense of reprieve. The first tokaha is stated in the plural. The first rebuke, the first reproof is stated in the plural and was delivered to the nation, to the people, to the Bnei Yisrael, to the Israelites as a whole, directly from the mouth of Elohim, the true good, true God, the power. Now the second tokaha, second rebuke, reproof, is stated in the singular. We have the singularity sense, and was delivered to individuals, the indivisible duals, the individuals from the mouth of Moshe, from the mouth of Moses. The long rebuke given by Moses, how many curses, how many consequences does it contain? It contains 98 curses, 98 consequences. Exactly twice as many as the 49 consequences that are listed in Vayikra, in Leviticus. Now, according to the sages, the first rebuke, Tokaha, concerns the destruction of the first temple and the Babylonian exile, whereas the second rebuke, it concerns the destruction of the second temple, circa 70 AD, and the Roman exile that continues to this very day in the diaspora, especially here in these Americas and the Caribbean. Ezra the scribe, decided that the curses in Leviticus were to be read before Shavuot, which is the time of the giving of HaTorah, before the harvest. And the curses, the consequences in Devarim, in Deuteronomy, were to be read before Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, before the Yom HaTeruah, the day of the trumpets, known as the head of the year, so that the year and its curses, its consequences can conclude, can come to conclusion. It is often difficult to find volunteers to publicly read this portion during the synagogue services. In traditional Judaism, it's very difficult to find volunteers to read this publicly, to read the curses for disobedience publicly, this particular portion here. And I, as one who has aliyah this portion, it is a very difficult, challenging to go straight through and to read the tokahot, the 98 curses, the 98 consequences. But let's ask a question, further question. What above all else, what above everything else is the cause of the fall, as the Apostle Paul mentions, as he mentions even in the Epistle to the Romans? What above all else is the cause of falling under the curses, of falling under the consequences? And we zoom in to Deuteronomy chapter 28 to verse 15, where the curses, the tokahot, the 98 of them begin. What does it say? It says, Lo tishma b'koli Yahuwah, disregarding, not hearing, Lo tishma b'kol Yahuwah, disregarding the voice of Jehovah, and failing to perform his commandments, his mitzvot, his commandments, his imperatives, and the decrees, the statutes, the chukim. This will eventually and has brought about all the curses, ha-kalalot, the curses, the consequences, ha-kalalot, that we find listed in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 to 68. So the cause of falling, the cause of the fall, what does Hawariya Paulos Paul, Rav Shaul, say in Romans 11:11? I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Chalila, God forbid. But rather, through their fall, through the fall of the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the Israelites, through their fall, salvation is come to Hagoyim, to the Gentiles and nationalities. Why? For to provoke them to jealousy, to provoke them to zealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, the riches of Hagoyim, the riches of the nations, the nationalities, the international community, how much more their fullness? So above all else, the cause of the fall of the so-called black man, the fall of the once lost, now found, the fall even over the past 400 plus years, falling under Hakalalot is because of Lo Tishma'a Bekoli Yahuwah, Lo, not hearing to the voice of Jehovah. Shema Yisrael, 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 Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, Shema. Why is the Shema hear, give ear, hear, hear, hear? Why is it so very important, very important, very important, very important, 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 important?
My advice to all, advice to all, advice to all, advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Fulfill
the Ten Commandments.
Them 400 years. Them 400 years. 400 years. 400 years. 400 years.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does...
Sorry. Marcus Garvey child from Africa in the black man's line. He teach us how to live and says, be careful how you sign. The prophet tried with iron, iron cap, PVT, and he started to work in a Kingston city. Angel Marcus, Messiah Garvey, who led the black world to reality. Oh, what a marvel, Messiah Garvey, that is the power of authority.
If the white man has the idea of a white God, let him worship his God as he desires. We have found a new ideal. Because whilst our God has no color, and yet it is human to see everything through one's own spectacles, and since the white people have seen their God through their white spectacles, we have only now started to see our God through our own spectacles. We believe in the God of Ethiopia, the everlasting God, and we shall worship him through the spectacles of Ethiopia. Do you know what it is to be a man? To be a man is to bear resemblance of the Creator.
Them 400 years. Them 400 years. 400 years. 400 years. 400 years. 400 years. 400 years. 400.
Bye again.
people misread has left them such pain. The talk is now of independence, you see. Seems it wasn't meant for you or for me. As we came, slave trade was the game. And ever since we don't even know our name. Our heritage we must remember. That they did to mother and father. So people, people, for what it's worth, demands your freedom here upon earth. Stop asking when, where and how. Make up your mind, the time is
ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know?
The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. And I said, my foot slippeth. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense. My God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
Equal rights for one and all.
Prayer. We have today's daily psalm. We have Psalm Sefer Tehillim, Kof Kaf He. Shir HaMe'elot Ashrei Kol Yirei Yahuwa HaOleka Vedratayo Yigvio Kapeka Ki Tokel Ashreka Utov Alakam Eshteka Kegefen Poriyam Yirik Tebetika Baneka Kishatile Zetim Saviva Leshulhaneka Hine Ki Kena Yiboraka Gabera Yire Yahua Yibarek Ka Yahua Mistion Ure Betu Yerushalayim Kol Yeme Hayeka Ure Banim Lebaneka Shalom Al Israel.
Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel, 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 peace.
مزمور 127 بقنف 128 የማዕረግ መዝሙር እግዚአብሔርን የሚፈሩት ሁሉ በመንገዶቹም የሚሄዱ ምስጉኖች ናቸው የድካምህን ፍሬ ትመገባለህ ምስጉነ መልካምም ይሆንልሃል ሚስትህ በቤትህ እልፍኝ ውስጥ እንደሚያፈራ ወይን ናት ልጆችህ በማዕድህ ዙሪያ እንደ ወይራ ቡቃያ ናቸው እነሆ እግዚአብሔርን የሚፈራ ሰው እንዲህ ይባረካል እግዚአብሔር ከጽዮን ይባርክህ በሕይወት ዘመን ሁሉ የኢየሩሳሌምን መልካምነቷን ታያለህ የልጆችህንም ልጆች ታያለህ በእስራኤል ላይ ሰላም ይሁን ሰላም ይሁን ሰላም ይሁን ሰላም ይሁን ሰላም
Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel.
Yes, yes, yes. Today's daily Psalm 128. Psalm Baraka Baraka.
Watch out for your part. You don't know it's Love Star music. All right.
We
Yes, yes, yes. Psalm 128 here. Brief overview of Psalm 128. We have the Amharic, like the Shia, the Amharic. Actually, the record, the audible is from the 128th anniversary of the birth, the Earth Day of the man-child, Lidge Safari. I'd like to share that one again right here, here, here. But first, let's get a good groundation. Today's daily psalm, Psalm 128. Mizmor Kof Kaf Chet. Psalm 128, Psalm CXXVIII. It's little, but it's Talua. Tinishkin Tilik, no, small, but it's Gadol. It's big. It has enough importance. It's concerning the happiness of the Hailahim, reverencing, respecting, or in English, they say the God-fearing, right? But actually from the Hebrew, the Elohim, Hailahim, reverencing, happiness. Here we have a companion, Mizmor, a chant, Isis, to the preceding. So today's daily psalm here in the season, Psalm 128, Mizmor Kof Kaf Chet, or Chet, Kof Kaf Chet, in the Hebrew alphanumeric, standing for 100, Kof Kaf for 20, Hebrew letter Kaf, and Chet for 8. So Kof Kaf Chet, or Psalm CXXVII, is comparable and connected with the preceding psalm, Hailahim Elohim, the Almighty Powers, Help Essential. Psalm 127, Mizmor Kof Kaf Zain. Kof Kaf Zain, Zain. 127. So just going over, just a look of the overview right here, 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 these two psalms, since they're connected here. Study to shew I and I selves approved, and that's Psalm 140. No. Psalm 47. Verse 7 says, to sing praises, Isis, with overstanding, understanding, understanding. So here, getting a groundation here, we have today's daily psalm, 128, and it's connected here, companion psalms, the companion psalm to the preceding. So the preceding is Psalm 127, Hailahim, Elohim's help, essential, the almighty power's help, essential. A generally accepted view, this is concerning the preceding Psalm 127, is that the psalm, Psalm 127, it consists of two independent fragments, but a connection of thought is not far to see. Although it's teaching, the Talmud, Hebrew operative word for teaching, in the Amharic we say Timheret, to give us a teaching of His Majesty. Although it's teaching, Psalm 127 is general. Much, enough point is added if it mirrors the conditions, if we look at the conditions in the age and the time of Nehemiah. It was a period of reconstruction, building up, upbuilding. Houses were being rebuilt, measures taken for guarding the cities, and much, enough labor was being expended in various directions. See, the time in Nehemiah is concerning the, we could say, repatriation, so to speak, or the return, the Aliyah from Babylon, that remnant that returned from Babylon during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. So that was a period, you can find more about that in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, within the canonical, the Bible, the scriptures, KJV version, also the Apocryphal, you have Esdras, but groundation, Ezra and Nehemiah, right? It was a period, this time was of reconstruction because the return, the exile, the Yehudi, the black Jews after the 70 years, interesting. You know, the old Bacchal Acts, you know, passing away after reigning on the Babylonian, you know, Mother Babylon throne for what they said, 70 years. So after 70 years, the black Jews of Persia, right, and they had returned, and there was enough reconstruction going on in that particular time. Houses were being rebuilt, measures taken for guarding the cities that were being populated and built up and repaired, you know. Enough labor was being expended in various directions, in various ways, but Here's the key concerning Psalm 127, the preceding to today's daily psalm, Psalm 128. But human planning and effort need, right? It's a necessity to have the human planning, mind them, I planning and I effort needs to be supplanted by Ha'elohim, Ha'el, the almighty powers, Baraka, his blessing, his prosperity, his increase, if they and I were and are to endure, to be sustainable repatriation, Torah-wise. In addition to these tasks of rebuilding the country, and here's a key concerning Psalm 127, as it connects here with today's daily Psalm 128, and also here in the season, reason for the season, even considering this Torah reading and feeding Nitzavim, one standing and the content thereof, the country had to have a much larger population if the future was to be assured. So the population, interesting, Gormawi Negusinagas, the Puramatic, Gormawi Hadassalasi says that the most vital resource of any nation is its people. So the country has to have enough, much larger population if the future, looking forward, if the future was to be assured. Now this is directly opposite, right, of this, of the curses, the consequences here, even in these foreign nation states in the times of the Gentiles. And is it about population control, yeah? And genocide and other types of tactics. But for those who came out and returned and made that aliyah from Babylon after 70 years. So this is an example for even I, the called chosen people of Rastafari, how those black Jews came out of Babylon when they repatriated, returned to the land. What did they do and in what order? Right? What were the precepts? Right? How did the Torah, John's direction, instruction, as Matthew says, to fulfill, right? To fulfill the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words. In this respect too, Ha'elohim, right? The almighty power's favor, his chesed, loving kindness, his grace, his favor, his mercy was and is indispensable since, and here's the key of Psalm 127, the preceding to 128. Since offspring, right? Offspring is a gift from H-I-M. It's a gift from Ha'elohim. So here, this is the context here. So moving forward and overstanding now that we could say that prelude, so to speak, right, to today's daily psalm, Mizmor Kof Kaf Chet. We have this here, a companion psalm to the 127. And the link, what's the link? The link being the mention in today's daily psalm of a prolific family of the bite of the house, right, of the bite of the bait, as we say, the Beta Israel, the Beta Rastafari, a prolific family as a baraka, a blessing from Ha'elohim, from the almighty power. It contains, today's daily psalm, it contains a beautiful cameo picture, right, of an ideal home life, or at least that Hebraic, you know, just the context of the Hebraic, we could say home life. You know, that word pick here in today's daily psalm of the principle, not according to the letter, but according to the spirit, the irid. The psalm here, the mizmor, the chant, it teaches that the welfare, the shalom, right, the shalom, the salam of the state, you could say of the kingdom, it deep ends upon virtuous family life and liberty. And virtuous family life and liberty must be founded and grounded upon active, really just, I say really just, what's righteous, HaTorah, the principles. Give I the teaching of His Majesty, for we want and need no devil's philosophy. And here, once again, the full of full of the advice, right, on the 10 words, the 10 commandments, HaTorah, according to the teaching of His Majesty Kadamawi,
Imperial Majesty, as a mature Christian, have you a special word for young people of these days?
I got to pause it right here and just come again, right? He said, as mature get that word there, mature. That means it's mature Christian or followers of the Messiah is the immature. So the maturity, growing in grace and the knowledge, Shema Yisrael. Yeah.
Imperial Majesty, as a mature Christian, have you a special word for young people of these days?
Bazikan Inya Gzaz Mustu Nando Huluno Yemenaka.
On this occasion, I address also all those within our empire. Our Christianity is not restricted to a given church, and I stress above all that we do not wish to make distinctions. My advice to all is to fulfill the Ten Commandments. You are aware of the contents of the Ten Commandments and can elaborate on it. If the nation for which I am the emperor follows and accepts this, since it's also what I accept and follow, I would believe our country is not only historically Christian, but also actively Christian.
So here, today's daily psalm. Let's just go over it. Just some basics with some of the footnotes right here that brings out how today's daily psalm in the royal order, it reflects even the Torah reading and feeding. Right? So we say the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, right? As we have received and inherited that from the commandment keepers, congregation of the living God, heal up to the memory of Rabbi Arnold Josiah Ford and Rabbi Wentworth Arthur Matthews and also other family and people from such a generation that has left I and I such a divine heritage. But here we have a song of ascents. Now, to put the song of ascents into a basic context right here, there are ascension psalms, or in the KJV they call them songs of degrees. We have Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, the songs of ascents, the songs of degrees in the Hebrew, referred to as the Shir HaMa'alot, or La Ma'alot, for going up, Aliyah, for the Aliyah, Shir, a song, HaMa'alot, HaMa'alot, for ascending. Now, it is said, right, some, they dispute, you know, what these psalms meant, but we see that the clearest context has to do with the pilgrim feast, the pilgrim festivals. And so there's 15 of these particular psalms, right? And it says that in the description of the Hekal, the temple in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, there were 15 steps that led up from within the court of the womb man to the court of the Israelites, or the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel. And this corresponds, some say, to the 15 songs of ascents, the 15 songs of degrees, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And upon them, it is said that the Levites, the Lewim, they used to sing. Now, at the ceremony of rejoicing at the place of water drawing, on the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're coming up into this season right here, as we're in the sixth moon, Hebraically, according to the church in the wilderness, called out assembly. We're in the sixth moon, and soon, here in the last of the seven Shabbats right here, coming forward to the Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, that's called and was called after the return, you know, of the black Jews from Persia. That's where it became known as Rosh Hashanah, the head of the civil of the governmental year, because it now segues at the end of the holy year, beginning from the month of Abib. So here we have the last three feasts, right, of the seven appointed, well, not the feasts, but the appointments, because Yom HaKippurim is not so much a feast in that sense. But we have seven appointments as laid out in Leviticus chapter 23, and there's three seasons, three times in the year shall all the males of Israel appear in the place that Yahweh Jehovah sets his name, in the connection with the Ark of the Covenant, with the two tablets, right? That's the place that he says he would meet with the children of Israel, and in the temple of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem became that spot. So the connection of these songs and psalms and chants and Isis has to do with the pilgrim feast, the pilgrim festival, right? On the trod, right? These are pilgrim psalms as the pilgrims three times in the year would ascend Mount Sion, Mount Zion. They would have these chants, these Isaiahs on their lips. So as they aliyah, as they return to the land, as they go up, these are the chants, these are the Isaiahs. So in reaching Har Zion, Mount Zion, that's the first stop before a little more tribe, going a little higher to Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem, and to the Heikal, to the temple, to the holy palace. So at the ceremony of rejoicing, so the season coming up is often called tabernacles as a whole. It includes a day of trumpets known as Rosh Hashanah. It includes Yom HaKippurim, not Yom Kippur as one say, but Torah says Yom HaKippurim, the day of the atonement or the day of the coverings, as it were. And then we have the Hag, Hag. We have the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot, Tabernacles, Booths, or Huts. So at the ceremony of rejoicing, at the place, the makom, the spot of water drawing. So there's a water libation. Also, tabernacles has a lot to do with there's a water, the importance of water, right, within the feast, the festival. Also, moving forward from this season, the prayers for the rains and due season, due times for the future baraka, the future prosperity. Here we got 90 seconds, y'all, 90 seconds. I got 90 seconds right here. Ones who want to call in. Also, Rastafari Israelites, the live stream. So let's get ready right here. But just a little overview so we can see the significance of today's daily psalm here in the season, right, as we're moving into the autumnal, right, some call the fall season of the year, the latter harvest, right? We have the first, and here we're moving to the latter harvest, also known as the end of the year. And we say the end of the year is the end of the, for lack of a better word, the holy part of the year, like in season, the holy season, those 7 months, those 7 moons. The first 7 months, 7 moons are considered, were considered like the holy season, or we call it the Hebrew, the liturgical, ecclesiastical, where we gather, we have those gatherings, those appointments to fulfill. So now after that, we will head into like 5 or so months, like in season, with those 7 feasts, and then out of season. But here, for the season right here, we have the going up, right? The going up, the Aliyah, denoting the pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, on the 3 festivals of the year, the Shilosh HaRegalim, the pilgrim festivals. And as the pilgrim, as I and I would ascend to Mount Zion, right, these psalms, these chants will be on I and I lips. So in connection with the rejoicing at the place of water drawing on the Feast of Tabernacles, the Levites were said to be stationed upon the 15 steps that led from the court of the Israelites, the Bnei Yisrael, or more directly, the sons of Israel, to the court of the woman, Nashim, to the woman, the daughters, corresponding to the 15 steps of ascent, of going up, of the Aliyah, the Shir HaMa'elot, in the Psalms. And it was upon these that Ha-Lewim, the Levites, stood with their musical instruments and sang, and they sang their song. So when we say even today in the Rastafari, you know, keeping it Levitical, right, keeping the music, you know, set apart, you know, and for the proper rites, you know, and rituals. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here, I'd like to share this right here, because we're already in the grace period of this podcast. Like to share the Royal Amharic as well. As we mentioned, it was from the 128th anniversary, right? Because that psalm is actually a psalm 128 also occurs on July 23rd, right? No. Slicker. It was 128th anniversary. So what has been I and I tried is we'll look at, you know, the number for even the coronation days, you know, and look at, well, what song, right, and see if there's a message for Jah people there. So we went through it then, but it's still the same song. We'll have to share it here. But first thing first, let's get a plain here of the Hebrew, right, the Hebrew speaker, and then we'll go over a few of the highlights before we ride up with the Royal Amharic and hopefully have some room for the Midrash, the study, that will bring out more of the connection. Right, but if you notice the blessings, the words sound powerful, prosperity, you know, and then what this psalm speaks of, one hopefully can see that connection. But here, plain read of the Hebrew, native speaker.
Hebrew, everything takes time.
Mizmor kuf kaf het shiram ma'alot. Ashre kol yere Adonai aholech bidrachav. Yegi akapecha ki tochel ashrecha vetovlach. Eshtecha kegefen poriya beyarkete vetecha. Banecha kishtile zetim saviv leshulhanecha. Hine chichen yevorach gaver yere Adonai. Yevarechcha Adonai mitzion ur'e betuv Yerushalayim kol yeme hayecha. Ur'e vanim levanecha shalom al Yisrael.
Shalom. Be up on Yisrael. So here, this is, I would say, little. It's a small psalm, but, you know, enough is in this small, tight space right here of the few verses of today's daily psalm. So, Mizmor Kof Kaf Chet, Shir HaMa'elot, HaMa'alot, song of degrees, a song of going up, a song of ascents. Asherei Kol Yirei Yahuwah, Ha Halok, Ha holeka biya derakayo or bederakav, modern Hebrew. Here, first verse here, song of ascents, shir ha ma'elot, ashrei happy. Now, interesting, I think the KJV, let me just scroll to the KJV, because I just want to be sure when I say this here that it's right and accurate. In the King James Version, what does it say right here? But we know what the Hebrew says, and we have to kind of forget sometimes what the KJV says in some ways. Oh, yeah, the KJV says blessed. Now, there is not the Baruch blessed, as we mentioned. There's a difference between words that have been translated by translators. Sometimes, you know, two different words, they give the same English word. This is one of those cases here. It doesn't say Baruch. It says Ashrei. Ashrei refers to even the sense of what Robeno, Yeshua, spoke of, the Beatitudes, right? It's more of a state of mind, a happiness, a contentment, like to be content, a happiness. It's not a feeling in this sense, the Ashrei, right? It's a state of mind. Just to point that out, while the Baruch bless is as a increase, right? As we say, prosperity, word, sound, power, invocation for increase. Right, so one can be blessed in the Baruch sense of things. You know, you can have enough things, like, you know, people have enough money, but they're not really Ashrei, right? They're not really happy. They don't have the beatitude, the beautiful attitude. But here, Ashrei call a Yirei Yahuwah, call all Yirei, all that reverence, call Yirei Yahuwah, all who reverence he who be, who he be. Ha Holek. And holek, halaka, to trod. Ha holek, and one who trod, be derakayo, in his ways. First word here is the reverence, the yere, yara, the reverence, showing reverence of Ha'ilahim, of the almighty power. How do we show reverence? Right, it says everyone that feareth, that respecteth. How do we show reverence? I shall call yere Yahuwah. By conformity, right? What it says in the Brit Chadash, the New Covenant, New Testament, to be conformed to the image of his son, right? That conformity to his precepts, right? To his precepts, right? That conformity to his will, to his way. Ha holek, and trotting and walking it out. Be dirakayo, be dirakav, in his way. Verse 2 here, just a quick point into some of the footnotes right here that we have right here. When thou eatest the labor of thy hand, sounds a lot like these Torah readings and feedings here, right, with Moshe, you know, speaking of the baraka, the blessing, what to do, you know, what to do, how to be, to receive that prosperity increase, and also the blessedness of eating of the labor of thy hand. So here. Yigiyah. Kapeka kia tokel, when thou tokel, ki tokel, when you tokel, when you akal, when you eat what?
Yigiyah, 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 like the labor, you know, the toil. Yigiyah, kapeka. The kaf of the hand, the kaf, like the letter kaf, right? If you look at the letter kaf, right, in the Asherit, the common Hebrew today, it looks like the palm, the cup of a hand. It's not the yad in the sense of like more like the fist, but it's more like the cup, right? Eat the labor, what you receive, of the labor of your palms, more literally. But here, another Asherah, Ashreka. Happy shall the I male be, speaking to the mandem of Yasharala. Ashreka, v'tov lak, v'tov lak. And it shall be well, or tov, it shall be tawab, v'tawab lak. It shall be good, it shall be well with thee. When thou eatest, ki tokel, tik tokel, when the I male eatest. This sounds a lot like the baraka we have and the words we have in our Torah, right? That labor of one's hands, right? Has the power to enjoy the fruits of thy toil because of thy condition of security. That's why even in the war laws, there's an exemption, right? To the man that he has a vineyard, but he has not eaten yet, you know, the fruits, you know, of his labor. He is given an exemption. If he seeks a return, he should go home and eat that fruit, you know, eat the fruit of his labor. You know what I mean? So to see the connection here and the importance, having that power, having that, you know, ability to enjoy the fruits of the toil, right? It's like if you go to work and you get a paycheck, you can't wait to get that money and someone else get the money. You know, but I guess this happens in Babylon. This would come out of her. Has the power of enjoying the fruits of thy toil. Yigiyah, yigiyah, kapeka, the toil of the palms of your hands, right? Because of the condition of security of shalom. Happy, ashreka, happy with thee, with the eye. This here is a favorite text of the ancient and even the modern rabbis, the Rebbanim, the scholars of Torah, and I, right? This here is a favorite verse here. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Ashreka v'tov lak. Ashreka v'tov lak. Happy. A happy sense of heart and mind, right? Irritical, psycho-spiritual standing. And it shall be good. Literally, it shall be good. V'tov lak. It shall be good with the eye. Why is the favorite text of the ancient scholars and teachers of HaTorah when teaching the dignity of honest work, of honest walk, honest work? Verse 3, thy wife eshteka, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Eshteka k'gefen poriya, gefen, the vine, poriya, like she, you know, she will be, pori, almost like saying her fruit in that sense, like the vine, k'gefen. We have pori, foray, even in the mark, the fruit, a fruitful vine weir, right? In the innermost parts of thy house, be yarikate beteka, in the I male house. But the yarikate, right, is actually, well, is the inner part, right? We'll get to that, but first the wife, the eshet, the orset, the eshet, Eshteka, or seteka, eshteka, thy wife. This idealistic picture of the home, many of the ancient scholars actually say it presupposes a state of what ones might call monogamy. Well, I know ones may want to reason on this. What? Yes, monogamy, right? At least that being the foundational principle. Even if men have two wives, right, but how do you do with the first? If he's had trouble in the first, maybe he should get that right. Check, scene, so the principle. So ones see this here as presupposing that state of mind, like man and woman, as does Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. 31, verse 10. It says right here, who can find a virtuous woman, an eshet chayil, a woman of power, a woman of chayil, like you say, chayla,
Selassie, power of the Trinity, were Eshet, Oset, Hail, a woman of power, a woman of strength, a woman of valor, a woman of virtue. For her price is far above rubies. It didn't say, well, who can find virtuous women, but it says who can find a virtuous woman, right? Fruitful vine, kugefen, poria, bearing numerous grape clusters. So using the symbology, the word picture of the gefen. The gefen is like the vine, right, and the grape clusters. So the Hailahim respecting minds, Eshet, Isha, Oset, will bring him many children, right? This is what the principle, right, of what is here, right, is speaking of. Innermost parts of Betika, of thy house, the woman's apartment in the east. And this is an interesting note right here, that the woman's, well, I said the innermost, I think the KJV says we're in the midst. KJV says something like that, in the midst of thy house. Once again, want to go there just to make sure, you know, we are quoting this correctly. It says, and thy wife should be as a fruitful vine. Oh, ain't that something? It says, by the sides of thy house. What? Well, that's not really the Hebrew there, by the side, the side of your house. But the bait is the house, and the bat is the daughter. So the bait, the connection of the daughter and house, woman and house right there. But it's not sides. It's not sides right there, as we see in the KJV right there. You know, more correctly, it's the innermost parts, the innermost, right, parts, the yarikate, the yarikate, betika, and the innermost parts in the east, right, the eastern home, the woman apartment or the woman's apartments was always located as far as possible from the entrance, from the entrance. So what's kind of interesting is that in circular houses, there'll be more near even the center. It all depends on where the entrance was, you know, but just the innermost parts, as far from the entrance, the innermost parts of the house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. So even here we have this connection with the first part of the metaphor, banika. In the Hebrew directly, this is saying thy sons, right? And thy sons, banika, right? Kisha tile zaytim. Zaytim, like the olive plants round about thy table, saviv or sabib, encircling, le shulchaneka, thy shulchan is thy table. Behold, surely like this shall the man be blessed that reverences, that respecteth Yahweh. Behold, he nay. Ki Kane, Ye Borak, blessed, he will be blessed, Gavir. But now Gavir is not just man in the sense of Adam, right, or Ish, right? Gavir, or some enunciate modern Hebrew, the Gavir. The Gavir is actually the mighty man, right? The Gavir is like the man of Not a war, but a mighty man in the sense of strength doing the work. What's interesting is that here in the Hebrew, the Gaber or the Geber, you might hear one say the Gibor, like they said, the ancient giants were the Gibors. It wasn't because they were tall, what they call Gibors, but because they were vigorous in work. They were able to accomplish work, you know. So even think about the farming, agricultural sense. And then from the Afro-Shemitic root, we have Gevra, like in the Amharic or from the the Gevra. Right, the Gevra, like the work of, sense of Gevra is like a worker. So here the Hebrew sense would be, surely, behold, look and see, he may see, here it is, ki kain, right, like this, right, Yeborak, blessed, increase, Gavir, is the mighty man or is the man of work, right, Yirei, who respecteth, who reverenceth, Jehovah, he who be, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. So it's not even saying this is a man who is a mighty man, but the connection of this Gavir, right, is one who Yirei, he respects, right, he reverence. Verse 5 here, Yahuwah, Jehovah, bless thee out of Zion.
And see thou the eyes the good of Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, all the days of thy life. Ye barekeka Yahuwah mi Sion. Ye barekeka, ye barekeka, modern Hebrew, ye barekeka. Yevarekeka, ancient pointing, Yevarekeka, Yahuwah, me, Sion, me, from Sion, from Zion. And see, sing, Ur-e, 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 U-N, Y-re, U-re, Re-e. Ure, ure, ure to ra, ra, to see, ure, and see. But here in the sense, it's almost like a command in the sense. It's almost like command, see, like we say, seen, zin, see, ure, ure, betub, Yerushalayim, betub, in the tube, in the tube, in the tawab, the tube, in the good of Yerushalayim, of Jerusalem. Call Yemei Chayeka, call all Yemei, Yemei, the days of Chayeka, Chayeka, the eye, life. So here speaking to the mind, Chayeka, call Yemei Chayeka, all the days of thy life, thy liberty. The good of Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, here, 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 the good of Jerusalem. The welfare or the shalom. Let's say it like that, the shalom, the welfare, the well-being, the shalom, the peace, right? Peace with Hailahim, peace with man, that finding of the true cross. The welfare of the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, is bound up with the city. Now, here we have to just make a little note right here, from low degrees to high degrees, from the simply fine cycle, the physical city, to the metaphy cycle. Jerusalem in the metaphy cycle represents the consciousness, right? We can say like the soul of Jah people, Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. The Beta Israel of Ethiopia, that's Sheba Choir right there. They're saying, Shimala, Shimala, Agarachin, Yerusalem, Dana, Dana, Shimala, Shimala. In the Hebrew, we say Hasida, Hasida, Hasid. Hasid is mercy, but the Hasida is the animal they refer to as the ibis, the ibis, like an ancient Mitzrayim, or we can say the stork, 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 Shimala, Shimala. Agarachin, Agarachin, our country, our Agar, Agarachin, Yerusalem, Jerusalem, Yerusalem, Bamrinya, Yerushalayim, Yerusalem, Dehna, 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 to be well, to be safe, right, to be well, Dehna, Dehna, to be well, to be safe. So what's being said there is interesting because of Shimala, you know how proverbially speaking the stork, you know, was kind of connected, you know, in some different peoples and various different ancient kind of mythologies or symbologies, you know, with the child or something. So it's kind of interesting. But from the Hebrew perspective, we say Hasida is the animal known as a stork, right? Or that type of water bird, the ibis, like from ancient Mitzrayim, one of the symbols of Tehudi, Jehudi, so to speak. Right, so they're saying Shimla, Shimla, Gerachim, Jerusalem, denies Jerusalem. Well, just to connect that point right here in today's daily psalm, the fifth verse right here, Right? Yeah, Barikeka, Yahuwah Mitzion, Ure, Betub Yerushalayim, Kol Yemei Chayeka. Verse 6. And see, again, and see, the importance of seeing, like the Torah reading, feeding for Shabbat, Re, see, right? Ore, and see, banim, and see, sons, le, baneka, ore, avanim, le, baneka, ore, banim, le, baneka, and see your son's sons, or the children's children, and see your children's children, re, seen, shalom, all, Yerushalayim, but here, shalom all Yisrael, shalom all Yisrael, peace, shalom all above, upon Yisrael, upon Yisrael. So here, the fulfillment verse right here, see thy children's children, thy son's sons, thus attaining a good old age. Peace be upon Yisrael. Shalom all Yisrael. Here we have a connection with Psalm 125, 125, verse 5. Let's just go here. And this psalm is seeing 125, security and high lehim in the almighty power. The fifth verse here, but as for such as turn aside, so you see the baraka there, right? The blessing, right? Prosperity, increase, good, peaceful condition, right? Good home life, family, right? Here in Psalm 125, in the fifth verse, it says, but as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, as Zarasa, I and I chant, their crooked-hearted ways, but as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, Yahuwah Jehovah will lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be up on Yisrael. Shalom all Yisrael. So here from this psalm, also connected with Psalm 120, round about verse 6, this is the supreme culminating prayer, the supreme climax and the culmination of tefillah of prayer, right? Shalom. And we say shalom, it's not just a word. Shalom is shalom in our spirit, right, in our mind, shalom in our soul, our psyche, our feelings, our emotion, our sentiment, right, our affections, and also shalom in our body, in our carbon organic, korban, carbon organic structure, our body health-wise, also shalom in our funds, our finances, our, you know, the things that we need to sustain even our, you could say, our natural life. So when we say mind, body, and soul, or man is a trinity, the shalom pertains to all, we say, three as one, right, for shalom. So it's not just shalom as a word, peace, you know, and you don't really know what person talking about peace, is a piece of this, or they're talking about peace like that, but shalom, right? So shalom here is the culminating prayer. Peace is the end of tyranny. Shalom is the end of tyranny. Shalom is the end of hostility. Shalom is the end of division, disquiet, alarm. Shalom is freeness. Shalom is harmony. Shalom is security. Shalom is blessedness. Now, it's interesting how Psalm 125, how it ends right there when it says, but as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways. So remember, before every man, there's two ways. And even when he says before I and I, a baraka and a kalala, a blessing and consequence or curse, right? So we see in today's daily Psalm 128, one example, right, of the potential baraka within one's family life. That's not the only way that he blesses I and I, right, increases I and I, but that's one example, a good word picture. And then here, in connection with the summary, how the psalm fulfills right here, where it says, shalom al Yisrael, shalom upon, be upon, almost as like an umbrella, right? Like an umbrella above, like all is like a, from above, right? Upon, right? Shalom al Yisrael. Final verse right here. Ore banim lebaneka, shalom al
Israel.
Mizmor kuf kaf het shir ha-ma'alot. Ashre kol yere Adonai ha-holech bidrachav. Yegia kapecha ki tochel. Ashrecha ve-tov lach. Eshtecha ke-gefen poriya. Be-yarkete ve-techa. Banecha ki-shtile zetim. Saviv le-shulhanecha. Hine chichen yevorach gaver. Yere Adonai. יברכך אדוני מציון וראה בטוב ירושלים כל ימי חייך וראה בנים לבניך שלום על ישראל.
Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel.
Yes, I think it's important here in the seasons of cheer, the Midrash. Yes, yes, yes. Important in the seasons of cheer, the Midrash. The Midrash, the study right here, here, here. So with the time that we have right here, let's go over the Midrash. The Midrash is like the Beit Midrash in the Hebrew. It's like the house of study, Midrash. Come from Darash, like what it says, to seek the Lord, right? To seek Yahuwah, while he may be found. Darash, to study. Right, the house of study. So here, the Midrash, Beis Hillel. Oh.
And here, Shema Yisrael. Here, Gevil Yisrael. Here, the Midrash on Mizmor Kof, Kaf, Kof, Kaf, Chet, Psalm 128, Psalm CXXVIII. Midrash here on Psalm 128. Ashrei kol yirei Yehovah. Happy is everyone that feareth, that reverence, that respecteth the Lord. Ashrei kol yirei Yehovah. Happy is everyone that reverenceth, that respecteth Jehovah. Hear. Opening verse of today's daily psalm, Shir ha-ma'ilot, a song of ascents, a song of degrees of going up. Shir ha-ma'ilot. Rav Chiya Barabba said in the name of Ulla, the man who enjoys the fruit of his labor fears better than he who fears, who reverences the Lord. For note that of him who fears, who reverences, who respects the Lord, it is written even here, Ashrei, call Yerei Yehovah, happy is everyone that feareth Jehovah, whereas of the man who enjoys the fruit of his labor, it is written even in today's daily psalm, in the Beit verse, in the second verse, Hebraically speaking, when thou eatest the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou, the I, male, be, and it shall be well with thee. Yegia kapeka kia tokel. Asharekai ashareka w'tov lak. Happy shalt thou be. Ashareka w'tov lak. And it shall be good with thee. Happy shalt thou be. Ashareka in this world. And it shall be well with the eye, with tov lak, in the olam haba, in the world to come. Take note that in connection with the fear of the Lord, in connection with the yirei Yahuwah, the words, it shall be well with thee, the eye, do not occur. When thou eatest the labor of thy hands, yegia kapeka ki tokel. Rav Chista taught,
who is truly a disciple, a Talmid of the wise, the Hakam? Who is truly a Talmid, a disciple, a Deka Mezmur of the wise? He who declares his own meat, Treifa, 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 Treifa. What is Treifa? That is, he has found out that the animal from which the meat had come had a disease that would prohibit the eating of its flesh. And though he can find mitigating grounds to lessen that which would permit him to eat it, he nevertheless condemns it as treifa, 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 to his own loss. Thus, he who declares his own meat treifa, treifa. Rav Chista also taught what sort of man is referred to in the verse from Proverbs, from the Mashal, the Mishle Shlomo, from the Proverbs of Solomon, Proverbs 15:27, where it reads, "He that hateth gifts shall live. He that hateth gifts shall live." In a fuller verse here from the Mishle Shlomo, "Okira betoa botea bata we sonea matanota yichye." He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Okera beto botea bata. But he that hateth gifts shall live. With sonea matanota yichye. But he that is, and he that hateth gifts, he that hateth gifts, with sonea matanot, with sone matanot. He that hateth gifts, with sonea matanot, yichye, yichye, shall live. Thus, therefore, he who declares his own meat, treifa, treifa. That is to say, if he denies himself his own meat, he is certainly capable of denying himself what others gives him. He that hateth gifts shall live. With sone matanot yichye. Mar Zutra taught in the name of Rav Chista, when a disciple, a Talmid of the wise, reads scripture, studies oral law, serves scholars, and declares his own meat treifa, of him it may be said, "When thou, the eye, eatest the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou, the eye, be, and it shall be well, it shall be good with the eye." Yigia kapeka kia tokel, ashereka witov lak. Rav Zavid added, "And he merits possession of both worlds, for it is said, happy shalt thou be, ashereka, in this world, and it shall be well with thee, with the eye, with tov lak, it shall be tov tawav, it shall be good with the eye in the olam haba, in the world to come." Whenever gifts were sent from the house, the bait of the patriarch, to Rav Eliezer, Eliza, he would not accept them. And when he was invited to the house, the bait of the patriarch, he would not go, saying, quote, "They do not wish me to live. For it is said, he that hateth gifts shall live." Wisone matanota yichye, in Proverbs, Mishle Shlomo, Proverbs 15:27. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine." Hear, hear, hear the Gimel verse of today's daily psalm, Mizmor Kof Kaf Chet. Eshtika, eshtika ke gefena poria. Thy wife, thy eshet, thy oset, thy isha, eshetika, ke gefena poria. When shall eshetika, the I wife, When shall Eshetika be a Gefen Poria, a fruitful vine? When she is modest, even in the innermost chambers of thy house. Bi Yarikete Beiteka, then will thy children be like olive plants. Baneka Kisha Tele Zetim. Thus, like this, you will find that scripture tells of Sarah. And they said to him, where is Sarah? Eshteka, the I, Eshet, Oset, the I wife. And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to thee, I. And lo, look, Sarah, Eshteka, the I wife, shall have a son. Hear, 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 from Bereshith, from Genesis. Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. Vayomru Elayo, Aye Sarah Ishteka, Vayomer Hine Ba Ohel, Vayomer Shova Shuva Eleka Ka Eita Chaya, With Hine Bain Li Sarah Ishteka. And they said to him, Vayomru Elayo, where is Sarah thy wife? Aye, Sarah Ishteka. And he said, Vayomer, behold, in the tent, Hine Baohel. And he said, Vayomer, I will certainly return to thee, to the eye, when the season cometh round. Shov Ashuv Eleka Ka'aita Chaya. And lo, look, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Wehine bein alisara ishteka. That Sarah was in the tent and would not show herself to the visitors is taken as proof of her modesty. That Sarah was in the tent and would not show herself to the visitors is taken as proof of her modesty. Rav Yehoshua ben Lewi, Joshua ben Levi, quoted the verse, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost chambers of thy house, thy children like olive plants. Eshteka, ishteka, eshteka ke gefena poria. Be yarikete veteka, baneka kishtelea zetim, saviva le shulchaneka. And he said, like olive plants, upon which no grass, no grafting, no grafts can be made, shall be thy children, Baneka, to whom no suspicion of bastardy will attach. When in a cholem, a dream, a man sees a fruitful vine, Ishto, his wife, his Isha, his Orset, will not miscarry, for it is said, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Eshteka, Ishteka, kegefen poria. When in a cholem, a dream, a man sees a choice vine, he may expect the coming of HaMashiach, the Messiah. For it is said even in Bereshit, in Genesis 49:11, binding his foal to the vine and his ass's colt to the choice vine. Osri la gefen iro, we la sareka benia etonno, kibesa vayayina levushoa, ubedama etnavima suto, binding his foal to the vine and his ass's colt to the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his vesture in the blood of grapes. Osria la gefena iro, wea la sa reka benia etono, binding his foal to the vine. Osri Lagefen Iro, and his ass's cult to the choice vine. We la sareka benietono of the Messiah, Ha Mashiach. It is also written, even in Zechariah, Zechariah 9 and 9, lowly and riding upon an ass. Lowly and riding upon an ass. Onia we rokeva alachemor, lowly oni we rokev, and riding alachemor, and riding up on an ass. Lowly and riding on a donkey, oni we rokev alachemor. Zechariah 9 and 9. When in a cholem, in a dream, a man sees grapes, white grapes, either ripe or unripe, it will be well, it will be tub, tob, tawab, good with him. Black grapes that are ripe, it will be well, tob, with him. That are unripe, then he is in need of mercy, chesed. If he dreams that he is eating grapes, however, he is certain of his heritage in the olam haba, in the world to come. When in a cholem, a dream, a man sees olives, small olives, then his business will flourish and grow like the olive tree. This is true only if he sees the fruit of the olive. If he sees olive trees, he will have many children. For it is said, even in today's daily psalm, thy children like olive plants. Thy children like olive plants. Baneka kishtele zeitim. But some say this cholem, this dream, chilm, means that he will have a good name. That he will have a good name. For it is said, even in Yeremiyahu, in Ermias, in Jeremiah 11 and 16, the Lord called thy name a leafy olive tree, fear with goodly fruit. Zayita ra'inana yife, furia to'ar kara Yahua shemek. Jehovah called thy name, the I name, a leafy olive tree, fear with goodly fruit. Zayita ra'inana yife, furia to'arak ara Yahua shemek. Jehovah called thy name a green olive tree, fear, beautiful, aitiful, yife, of goodly fruit. Zayita ra'inana yife, furia to'ar karah Yahua shemek. The Lord bless thee out of Zion. Hear, hear, hear. Hey, verse of today's daily psalm. Ye barekekai Yahua mitzion. Jehovah bless thee, I mitzion, from Zion. All goodly rewards and all goodly comfort will come out of Zion, Mitzion, from Zion. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Yisrael, upon Israel. Urei banim lebaneka, shalom al Yisrael. Yea, yes, thou, the eye, shalt see thy children's children, urei banim lebaneka, and peace, shalom, upon Yisrael, upon Israel, all Yisrael. Rav Yehoshua ben Lewi, Joshua ben Levi taught, when thy children have children, there will be peace in Yisrael, in Israel. For then there will be no need of chatzliah, chatzlisa, chatzlitza, or for levirate marriage. Chatzlitza. What is chalitza? chalitza. Chalitza is the ceremony of taking off the Levir's shoe. Refer to Devarim, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 to 11, and the Levirate marriage. Both are obligations. These obligations frequently cause quarrels. Both the chalitza and the Levirate marriage. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani taught, when thy children have children, judges in Israel will have peace, shalom, since doubtful ears will not cause litigation. When thy children have children, that is to say, legal, lawful, legal ears, judges, shoftim, be Israel in Israel, will have shalom, since doubtful ears will not cause litigation.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
His foundation is in the wall of mountains. Jealous the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things have been spoken of the O city of God. I'll make mention to Rehob and Babylon, to them that know I. With the old Philistine and Tyre, with Ethiopia, it shall be said that this man was born there. And the highest himself shall establish the earth. Jah Rastafari.
Rastafari. So right here on that outro right there, there was a halitza. What is a halitza? The halitza is that part in the scripts where, you know, if a man would not, like, you know, marry the woman, the brother's wife, you know, the brother died and they have a heir, you know, she take off his shoe and, you know, he's one with a foot loose. Well, I just share a little bit of this on the outro right here just due to the time here. Look more. The halitza and the Levirate marriage, Psalm 128, verse 6, look at Midrash, the demon.
So here concerning the chalitza, and also connected with the Levirate marriage, basically where a man who doesn't have children, and he's one who has inheritance, because it's also about the inheritance and about keeping, you know, the land and inheritance within that family and within the name of the patriarch coming from the 12 sons of Yaakov, the 12 sons of Jacob, who are, of course, after Hashem, the true owners of the land. So land could be rented. So even when you find that something might have been sold, the context, more better, is that it was rented because the land could not be sold in perpetuity. So if I had land, I'm one of the descendants of the 12 sons of Jacob, and say of the tribe of Judah, so I have a portion of that coming from my patriarchs, my fathers, my forefathers, that this land I could potentially, like, say if I needed funds, so I might rent out, like lease or rent out a portion of land to somebody, right? Whether they are Bnei Yisrael, or it could be in a sense even to others, but there's these limitations that are in HaTorah, I can do so. So one might say I sold it, but I can't sell it in perpetuity. Basically, monies or kesef, you know, silver was exchanged or something like that, or animal, oxen, some wealth was exchanged for the use of that land to a son of Israel or to someone else for a period of time, right? But I could not sell that land in perpetuity, like forever, right? Because of what Jah has said and the patriarchs and coming down to us. So Moshe's law kind of regulates it. So the whole Ruth and Naomi situation kind of brings out the sense of the chalitza, right? And the Levirate marriage here, the sixth perek, it says, the sheshi perek, it says, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace up on Yisrael. Psalm 128 and 6. So Rav Yehoshua ben Lewi, Levi taught, Joshua ben Levi, he taught that when thy children have children, there shall be peace in Yisrael, in Israel. For then there will be no need of chalitza, or for Levirate marriage. Then there'll be no need for it. So there's two notes right here
two notes. We had went through it in the reasoning and the audio and the remix, the dub right there, Prince Jammies. I think it was on Dub War, actually, that beautiful dub right there, right? So here, those two notes, we went into it, but we did not, we had pause. When we listened to the replay, we had pause, and we thought whether we was going to bring it out or a couple of words that we could have said just to clarify in case ones were not familiar with it, but hopefully that'll prompt ones to get more familiar with it. So here we have six and seven notes here in the sixth parak here. It says the ceremony, the chalitza is the ceremony of taking off the levir's shoe. And then it refers to Deuteronomy, Devarim, chapter 25, verses 5 to 11. All right, so we have Sefer Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter, or Rit Zedagim, Deuteronomy 25, 5 to 11. So that's the ceremony of taking off the levir's, L-E-V-I-R, right, that particular word right there, the levir's. So what is the levier? The levier, right? Just to do a quick search on this and see what comes up right here, how this is brought out. It's a quick search right here. Look up this word, look up this phrase right here. It sounds like Levite, right? But levier, like the Levirate marriage. In fact, for maybe more than 20-something years ago when I came across this, it sounded like Levite, and I didn't really investigate until we looked at the word. I said, oh, it's not Levite, it's Levirate, some say. A custom of the ancient Hebrews and other peoples of that 1040 region by which a man may be obliged to marry his brother's widow. A man may be obliged. This here in HaTorah is Hashem, is Jah, recognizing, as Matthew says, that any law, the best document or a constitution or anything like that, has to be related and based on the customs and, like, the predilections of the people. Right? So even to get people to this point, you have to take them from where they're at. So the word levir means brother-in-law. The marriage between a widow whose husband had died childless and her brother-in-law. Right? The term levirate or levirate comes from the Latin levir, which means husband's brother. So that's basically like the long and the short of it. Husband's brother. So who's the husband's brother? Right? We could go into, well, what do you mean by brother? Right? But take that right there, 25 and 5 to 11, just to do due diligence right here. Due diligence. So here, it's not Jah that initiated that particular custom, but it's a custom of, you could say, the people. Right? There's some things that we have in Torah that are the customs of the people. And often you'll find that when it's reissued, you know, whether as Moshe's law or the reasonings from the elders within the volume of Torah, usually you can see Hashem Jah's input, because it would be, how can we say, it would be like tweaked, right? Okay, this is what people do, but you must do it like this. And this is the limit here for doing that. You know what I mean? So Jah is recognizing the righteousness of it, but also limiting it within the, you say, the reissue of that ancient custom or practice. Right? So here it says right here, if brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without to a stranger, because the brother is of this tribe, and then the woman should not marry somebody like who's outside, so to speak, of the tribe, as it were, right, to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in to her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. So, like, there's a duty of the husband, there's a duty of the wife, there's this duty now of the husband's brother. And it shall be that the firstborn that she beareth shall succeed, right, in the name of his brother who is dead. Mut, right, who is dead. That his name, Shimo, be not put out of Yisrael. And if the man like not to take his brother's Isha, Eshet or Set, his brother's wife, so the man, there's a choice factor here, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, so the elders, the gate of the city is a place, obviously, even by the custom of the ancients, the gate of the city was a place that a lot of things were adjudicated at the gates, going to the gates of the city, also where the elders gathered. So if one had something they wanted to question or reason on, they take it there to the gate where the elders are. So the woman, the wife, right, the brother's wife will go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up to his brother a name in Yisrael. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. So that means from the ancient time, because we ask, well, what's the duty of a husband's brother? We only know about it because it's here in HaTorah, but it was known to the people. right? Not just the Hebrews, but other peoples had similar, right, with other maybe modifications, depends on their customs or whatever, but here's for the children of Israel. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him, just to get a confirmation of what the brother's wife is saying, right? And just make sure everything's right and accurate. And if he stand to it, he says, yeah, that's exactly, he's firm on it. He stand to it and say, I like not to take her. Then shall his brother's wife come to him in the presence of the elders, the witness of the elders, and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face, and shall answer and say, so shall it be done to that man that will not build up his brother's bait, his brother's house. So it's a duty for a man to build up his brother's house. All right. Then here it says, and his name shall be called in Yisrael, the man who decides that, well, he don't like to take her, the house of him, the bait of him that hath his shoe loose. A new way of looking at foot loose, shoe loose. Last verse right here. That was verse 10 here. Well, here it's 11. When men strive together, one with another, and the wife of, that's a different area where it says, like, the woman, you know, puts forth her hand, and she's trying to help a man when he's fighting with another man and grab the man by the secrets, by the sack, you know, the secrets, the family jewels. Now, here with Ruth chapter 4, it says this right here, in Ruth chapter 4, verse 7, now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming, and concerning changing. Concerning what? Redeeming and changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Yisrael. So there are things that we have in HaTorah that Yah commanded. There's some customs that were customs of the people that are included in the Torah but are regulated by the words of HaTorah, right? And here we have a custom where to confirm, right, like to confirm something, whether to redeem something or to change, right, where a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. So a man took off his kicks and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony, a witness in Israel. So this was done in front of other ones. So when that was done, people recognized what was going on. Interesting, because here's another sign and tell, you know, of, we could say, the ethnicity, the black and brown sheep, you know, the shoes and kicks are very, very important. You know what I mean? Man don't want you to get so close to his shoes, much less touch his shoes, much less give you his shoes, run his shoes. He would take off, pluck off his shoe, and he would give it to his neighbor, and this was a sign, right? A sign, a cultural sign, symbol of testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for me. So he drew off his shoe. Right? Now, in this section here, you know, it says, then said Boaz, verse 5, what day thou buyest a field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman, this is what you hear in Christianity, that we have a kinsman that stick closer than a brother. But you have to look at the context of that quote right there. Here it goes. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Then it takes ways. Now, this was the manner in former time. So verse 8, it says, therefore the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for thee. Buy it for thee. I don't know if I said me before. It's for thee. Buy it for yourself. Buy it for the eye. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, ye y'all are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, in addition to this, verse 11, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. No, well, not purchased like in that sense of no Western Gentile feminism, sexism. No, I have paid the dowry. Right, I paid the dowry. I show I can be responsible for this, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. So he doesn't have to cut off, meaning you don't have a seed, you know, a son or sons to follow in your name, to carry on your name. And from the gate of his place, ye are witnesses this day. Right, ye are witnesses this day. Right, now what is interesting about this whole thing right here, you notice that what is written in Torah was not literally done, you know, where she plucked, she unloosed his shoe, and she spit in his face, because she's a Moabitess, first of all. She can enter in, because she's not a Moabite male, but she's a female. That's what it says, that the Moabite, not even to the 10th generation, can enter into. It's all about the males, right? That's one thing a lot of people don't recognize, come from Western Gentile. You have to look at the Hebrew, house language in the Hebrew. And on average, a woman could not come in either if she's under the Chemosh and these gods of the Moabites. But Ruth is a case in point, right, of one of the Gentile women of other nations that clave to Hashem, to Jehovah. So you see that the basic practice of the shoe is there, right? The shoe is there without her now. If she was an Israelite woman, she would it would be her responsibility to go to the man who could not redeem it, right, and raise up seed, loose his shoe. He has to allow his shoe to be loose. He can't kick or whatever. He kicked the woman or something like that. He get beat down because he's violating first of all our custom as Hebrews, and then he's violating the Torah because before it was just our custom. But even then he'll get beat down. Now it has been inserted within HaTorah, right, and regulated. Basically just get your shoe taken off and she's going to spit in your face, take that, because you have to look at the spit in her face, so to speak, right? And you're going to be called the one who has a loose shoe in Yisrael. But here right here in the Midrash, where it connects with Psalm 128, verse 6, yea, thou shalt see thy children and peace upon Israel. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Joshua ben Levi, taught that when thy children have children, there will be peace in Israel. So this is the encouragement to Israel to have enough youths, right, to have children, to have, especially in the Hebrews, really saying sons specifically, right, because the woman will tend to become part of the next family. This is just how it be, right? But there will be peace in Israel, for there will be no need for chalitza. So it's because of the lack of having the seed, right, the man having, you know, the seed, you know, that this had to be done, right, so that the name of his patriarchs doesn't get wiped out because there's no one to rep it in the generations to come. Chalitza, or for Levirate marriage. Now here, under note 7, Levirate marriage, here's a note, it says, both obligations, it's, you're obliged, like, I'm obliged to do this. Both obligations frequently cause quarrels. That's why the man, right here, in Ruth chapter 4, right, and he said to the kinsman, right, Naomi, that has come out of the country of Moab, sell us a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. My God is king. Elimelech. And I thought to advertise thee. Notice what Boaz is saying, right? I thought to advertise thee, like to make this known to you. I want to do this, but you are closer in this lineage. I don't want to bypass your right. You're going to have to give up your right. I'm going to check you about this is your right. Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou will redeem it, redeem it. Don't say redeem her, the land and his wife and raise of seed. But if thou will not redeem it, then tell me, make it clear, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee. There's none who will have a direct link to redeem it. You are the one. It's your right. And I am after thee. So I'm not going to, because, you know, Boaz checked for Ruth. You see the scene when he was in the barn and everything. It was proper, upright, but, you know, very close and everything. He says, I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the... So the man was like, I will redeem the land. So to get that piece of land, he was like, he's going to redeem it. Then said Boaz, all right, Boaz. Bo means to go, and Oz means like strength, or even in a sense command. Boaz, he says, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife, the Isha, the Eshet of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead up on his inheritance. And the kinsman that's the closest in the brother, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. I don't know if he had an angry woman or wife or what the situation was, but he said, this will mar my inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Because the connection of getting, he was going to redeem the land. He's going to take the land. But then Boaz recognized that Naomi, I mean, you know, has her daughter-in-law, right? Ruth, and Ruth said, forget about her Moabite Chemosh, her Moabite gods, her Moabite ways. She's joining Jah people. So therefore, you're going to have to redeem it, right? And you're going to have to also deal with Ruth. And he said, nah, I can't do this. And that's why it says, now, this was the man in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and changing, concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. That's what was, so that custom of the woman, where John says, will go to the man that says he can't redeem it, right, the brother, and will pluck off his shoe and spit in his face, right, and say, this is the one, then she will proclaim, this is the one with his shoe loose in Israel, right? It wasn't only for that case, it was also for redeeming and changing, right? Maybe the part that maybe was a cultural or little addition there was part of spitting in his face and the proclamation of his shoe loose, his foot loose, right, because the foot, the walking, the trotting, you know, you do what is required, your obligation. But if he would not like to do this, then you got to take this, right? Pluck off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony of Israel. So it's important to note that this wasn't only just for the Levirate marriage or raising seed to your dead brother, as it were, but was also for other things, the act of passing on the shoe, right? You know, taking off your shoe to as a witness, as a testimony to something, to confirm, it says. Last point here, Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmani taught, when thy children, in the Hebrew context, Baneka, when thy sons have children, when thy sons have children, that means legal heirs, no doubt. This is why the sanctity or, you know, when talk about woman and it might seem something, oh, why is it so harsh on a woman? No, it's that mama's baby, father's maybe. HaTorah was to make sure that mama's baby is father's baby, too. It's not mama's baby, father's maybe, to cut out that shachat, that shite, right? Legal heirs, right? Judges, right? In Yisrael, Shoftim, and Yisrael will have peace. Since doubtful ears will not cause litigation. You know, it's doubtful ears where things will come out, like I said, like if the wife went aside but was not known to the man, then after he passed, then the rumor comes out that actually she was unfaithful and this one is not his, but maybe he had another wife before and that child was his, and now the shoftim and the shotrim, you know, the shofet and the shatas, shoftim and the shotrim, the officers and the judges and the officers, they got a lot of problems now. They got to regulate, you know, and you can tell these are where conflicts, a lot of conflicts come in because now everybody want to get the land. Like the man, you know, with Boaz, the heir of Kin, the kinsman, he wanted to get the land. He said, yeah, I'll redeem it. And what did Boaz say? Okay, and in addition, moreover, if you redeem it, you also have to remember Ruth the Moabitess as well, and you have to raise up seed because she's actually the wife of, you know, Mahlon. And so, and he said, oh, no, can you redeem it for me? You know, can you buy it for yourself and redeem it? I cannot do this. I'm a mar my inheritance. And therefore, the custom was enough for him to take off his shoe in that case. Ruth was not required to spit in his face, right, as in the other case, or to say such and such, right? And you have to really think about how, on this wrap-up here, how Boaz really thought this through. You know what I mean? Boaz, but what this teaches us here as Yehudi, as Rastafari, Yehudim, Yedim, we the black Jews, the lion tribe of Judah, it teaches us business. You know, as you talk about with Jacob and Laban, if you listen to the detail, he could have already married Rachel, and could have maybe worked some more time to get, you know, to get some, you know, provisions he would need, you know, like cattle, things he would need to take care of his family, you know, work to get some investment, cattle, kesef and cattle, you know, as it were. So right here, that point really stuck out, right? Because then there will be peace in Yisrael because of doubtful ears. Doubtful ears not only cause litigation, but also cause contention, a lot of contention. And I just share what was shared with me years ago. You know, from that Geechee Gullah background, and some of y'all probably know it among your peoples, if you're Geechee or Gullah or not, Gullah, Bala, Oromo, that mama's baby, father's maybe, right? And a lot of the regulation in Torah is not so much, against the man or against the woman, but it's to regulate everything so that there can be peace. It's all about shalom, that there can be peace in Yisrael, to have contention and contentious litigations, tribal wars, conflicts, to the minimum. That or not at all, that if we have any conflict or litigation or contention, it will be with others who are outside of the yoke, the discipline of HaTorah. Sing, say, yes, I. Shalom, Chavarim. Shalom. Yad in here. 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 Yad in here.